Good morning. It's Tuesday, June 9th, and this is Protocol's Source Code. I'm David Pierce. Today, I want to talk about passwords. Passwords are this funny thing. They're not secure. Everyone wants to get rid of them. Nobody actually thinks passwords are a good idea, but they're totally central to everything about the way that we work. Microsoft is one of the companies that's been trying to get rid of passwords, and it's actually been working on it for years. It's hoping to use biometrics and devices and basically anything other than those totally hackable, reusable passwords that we all use. The guy in charge of this project is Brett Arsenault, Microsoft's chief information security officer. And today, Protocol's Tom Krazit published a story about him and his work at Microsoft. So I called Tom up to learn a bit more. Just start at the beginning. Who is this guy and why did you decide to write about him? He's not your average like tech industry celebrity.
No, I mean, Brett Arsenault is the chief information security officer at Microsoft, and he's been with the company for 30 years. I met him for the first time in February. It was actually the last business trip I took before the world shut down. And, you know, he just is a different guy. He's funny. He's compelling. He's not afraid to say what he thinks about technology, about Microsoft, about the industry in general. He was just a very interesting person.
Yeah. So what's interesting is how much of sort of the backstory of his seems to have informed a lot of the stuff that he's working on. So without sort of giving your whole story away, which we're going to make people go read, but give me sort of the greatest hits of his life before he gets to Microsoft.
Well, he had a challenging childhood growing up on, you know, government assistance and divorced parents. And he grew up in Northern New Hampshire and then his mom moved to the Seattle area. And so he was kind of shuffling back and forth between those two places. And, you know, I think he just grew up in an environment without a lot of money, which I think is rare for, you know, most tech executives that I've met who, you know, not necessarily were, you know, total, it came from rich backgrounds or anything like that, but certainly didn't come from difficult backgrounds.
And so he's not your average like Stanford CS grad who grew up in Palo Alto.
No. And you know, the tech industry in 1990 was different than the tech industry in 2020, but still it's not something you see a lot. And I think what it did for Brett is it really reinforced within him the need to work hard. I think it was a work ethic thing that came out of it for him. And I think that he, you know, really one thing he said that kind of struck me was that, you know, growing up that way, you know, where the family life was difficult and you know, he really needed to learn to make connections with other people. Like circumstances sort of forced him to become a people person and to find support and help from others in the world. And I think that those skills, you know, now that after he got into leadership positions at Microsoft over the years, you know, really sort of helped him be an effective leader and be a manager that people wanted to work for. And, you know, now he's basically the top executive in charge of protecting the company's digital assets, which, I mean, you know, Microsoft has a lot of those.
Okay. So, and his new thing is passwords, right? That's kind of his current obsession.
Yes. He wants to get rid of them, which I think, you know, most of us would be fine with.
Yeah, true.
People have been talking about, you know, biometrics and other kinds of, you know, login devices for a long time. And, you know, there's a lot of laptops now that have some sort of fingerprint reader or something like that. It's just much more complicated than it would seem to integrate those into a corporate network. You know, a lot of the, you know, among your bigger companies in the world have very complicated corporate networks with hundreds of different applications. And they, you know, the system that you need to make a change to something like requiring biometric login, there's just a ton of work that needs to be done on the back end. And so that's what he's been kind of focused on. And I think that he believes this will be able to be sort of a future product for Microsoft that they can show customers how they did it. And so that will help accelerate, you know, the move away from passwords for logins to corporate networks. And there are other companies that are doing this. Google has done something similar internally and you know, lots of the other top companies are working on it as well. But, you know, it's been sort of a passion project for him. And he actually said that the stay-at-home orders during the pandemic have accelerated the process of this. So they're actually getting it done faster than they thought.
Why do you think this is a passion project for him? I mean, I would think the guy in charge of security at Microsoft would be thinking about cryptography and quantum and spending his time on sort of much bigger, seemingly higher stakes thing than passwords.
I think he sees it exactly the opposite. I think he sees security as, you know, it's like making it easier for people to wear a seatbelt, you know, or getting, making it easy for people to feel protected using computers without having to jump through a lot of hoops. And I mean, that's a, you know, a user interface type of problem. It's a psychological kind of issue. There's a lot of things that play into that. But to have real impact on people's day-to-day lives. And, you know, I think one thing that he has also have a pretty good handle on is the fact that, you know, if you confront computer users with hostile tools, they're just not going to use them. And you know, the goal of a company like Microsoft for both its employees and its customers should be to make those tools easy enough so where you either want to use them or you don't even notice. They're just part of the background, like turning on the switch. So I think for him, that's really an important part of democratizing access to some of these technologies.
Got it. Okay. So, all right, before I let you go here, you called Brett the most interesting man at Microsoft. And I feel like your story is just full of like slightly hilarious details about this guy. he's a man
too.
Of multitudes. So like, give me one, what thing or personality quirk jumped out at you the most?
Well, I think the standout thing is that he left Microsoft kind of at the height of his career to spend 2 years racing on the endurance race circuit, kind of like the Le Mans circuit in the US, and, you know, just sort of walked away from a high paid secure job at one of the biggest companies in the world to go race.
Was he any good?
He was better than I would have been. he did okay. You know, he was like in the top three in several races. I don't think he actually won a race, but you know, he competed for a couple of years on you know, major circuits in the sort of the endurance racing world. And, you know, it's not Daytona, but it's, they're going fast.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, definitely better than either of us would have done, I think. All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Sure.
In other news, here are three things you should know about today. WeWork may be getting out of the apartment business. Bloomberg reported that it's looking into getting rid of its We Live business and figuring out what to do with real estate in DC and New York. Basically, the great WeWork divestment continues. Meanwhile, a Chinese company called Contemporary Amperex Technology Company Limited said it's building an electric car battery that can last more than 1 million miles. That would be a huge deal for everyone looking to sell or buy an electric car in the next few years. And lastly, Twitter appears to be working on a revamped verification system, including a much easier way to request a blue check. And before you ask, no, I can't help you get verified. Now, before we go, let's talk about scooters, because I love talking about scooters, even though I haven't ridden one in like 4 months, because frankly, there's nowhere to go right now. Anyway, yesterday, the ACLU filed a lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles about scooters. Which seems weird on its face because, like, you wouldn't sue the road for your car troubles, right? But in this case, the city is actually unusually involved in the system. The Los Angeles Department of Transportation played a huge role in a standard called the Mobility Data Specification, which is usually just abbreviated to MDS. It provides cities with real-time information about the scooters on their streets. And over the last few years, there's been a long-standing fight over this data and who gets data from scooter companies. Cities want more of it so that they can improve transportation systems and understand traffic flow. Scooter companies want to give up less of it so that they can retain competitive advantage and protect user privacy. The ACLU is decidedly anti-MDS. The suit seeks to effectively kill the standard, ending all collection through MDS and destroying all existing records. But really, this isn't a scooter fight. The next time you get on a scooter, MDS won't change your ride, really. This is a privacy fight. It's about whether a government entity, any government entity, has the right to track people as they move, even if their personal identifiers are stripped out of it, and even if it comes on a delay. The lawsuit is bigger than scooters, and I think the outcome will be too. Anyway, that's it for us today. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to Source Code wherever you get podcasts and sign up to get the Source Code email newsletter every day at protocol.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow.